Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, October 4th, 2020. Pastor Paul Tolbert.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
I mean, like, what would you do if you were in my place right now? Pastor Tolbert asked me to share some parts of God's Word with you, and you well, very well know them. You have to know a little bit about some big words. Last week, you pointed out that you heard some part of God's Word that talked about who's keeping score, where you heard about forgiveness. Goes on and on and on, and you don't keep track because God doesn't keep track of our sins, and that's the good news. So today we're going to be looking at what would you do? Now, before we get into that, don't jump ahead. I want you to stay right with me right now because I know you know the end of the story. I know you know about that, but before we share that, I have to share with you the difference between two big English words. One is sympathy, and one is empathy. Sympathy is when I feel sorry for you. I feel sorry for you. Oh, you have no home. I feel sorry for you. Your house burned down. I feel sorry for you. Someone in your house is sick. I feel sorry for you. So you're sorry that the consequences are playing out in their life and you know, not much you can do, but you feel sorry for them. Empathy is a wee bit deeper. Empathy says, I feel sorry for you. I understand that you were just diagnosed with cancer. I know how scary that can be. I understand that you just lost your whole income. That is really scary. That is a hard thing to do. I understand that somebody stabbed you in the back. I've been there. That's a hard thing to do. It hurts. That's empathy, where I understand what's going on. That's the come when I say, what would you do? I don't want you to jump ahead. I want you to think. Think right with me. What would you do? See, I know all about rejection because when people see me coming down the street with their family, they take their family, they put them on the other side of the street. Same color skin, same language. What's up with that? Oh, they'll turn away from me. They'll run away and they'll hate me. I have had kids just throw rocks at me like I'm a dog. Do you know what that's like to be rejected by kids? That was me. My whole family has to reject me. And when anybody sees me, they yell out as they're running away from me, unclean, unclean, and I have to make sure I'm covered. And I have to yell back, unclean, unclean. You see, I'm from Jesus' day, and I had this disease called leprosy. Leprosy is another big word. It's when your skin, your body, your tissue starts to rot as if you're dead, but you're still alive. So the soft tissues go first. Your cheeks, your nose, your ears, your fingers, then your toes. A lot of pain is with that disease because all those nerve endings get exposed. And can you imagine the stink? You had to be separate by law. And not a law that someone's going to come and scold you or shame you because you're not wearing a mask. No, no. You had to yell out unclean and you had to stay away. And if they came towards you, you had better back up because your life is forfeit if you decide to mess with people who don't have leprosy. Not a good place to be. Now, I told you that at the beginning that I'm alone in this. And if you know your Bibles, you're saying, well, you're not really alone, Mr. Leper Guy. You're with 10 others. I mean, a total of 10. There's 9 others of you out there. You're not really alone, are you? Well, I want you to think. Those 10 of us, we were there. We're kind of walking around. If you want to know what we look like, we look at each other, and it's disgusting. But we stay together because we can stay together as lepers. We can scavenge for food. But what happens is that of those 10, 9 of them are Jews. 1 is a non-Jew. 1 is a Samaritan, which means that there is one of this group that they can't stand to be around, but they have to be around because we all have the same disease, same boat, same suffering. So I'm alone even in that group. So what do? Well, we go around and we listen and we hear tidbits of news, just like you guys like to do on your iPhones and your iPads and your computers. We like to pick up news, you know, as it's going around and overhear a conversation. Sometimes we'll hear someone get really politically angry at somebody that, you know, maybe Rome is doing something or a new tax has gone into effect. The religious leaders started to grumble and complain more than normal. But over the course of time, just so you know, all of the discussions started to circle around one guy. Yeah, it's really weird. So we're going around, what's that, the one guy? What was his name again? Well, they're calling him the Christ. They're calling him God in the flesh. They're calling him a wonderful Savior. But other people were calling him a liar, the head honcho of the demons, someone who is just a rebel to the core. Some would hang on his every word, and they loved and cherished his every word, and others hung on his every word, hoping that he's going to mess up and they can catch him. Over the course of time, we found out that this guy's name was Jesus. Now, just so you know, we've heard come and go, people like that. But now this time is something a little bit different because people started talking about what this Jesus guy could do. He could heal people. He'd go up to somebody who was sick for decades, and he would say, "You're better. Go home." He'd go up to someone whose child was possessed by a demon and cast out the demon. He would take care of someone who's got a bad flu, like Peter's mother-in-law, or he would take care of someone who has died, like Jairus' daughter. I mean, this guy, we heard that he walked into the funeral parlor of this little girl and took hold of her hand and said, "Little girl, I tell you, get up." And she got up from death as if she's getting up from a nap. Some amazing things are said about this guy. But, you know, we've been around the block a while. We've been scammed a lot. So we just take everything kind of a... And then they said this, that Jesus healed a leper. In fact, he not only healed a leper, he went up and he touched a leper and healed him. You're not supposed to touch lepers. We are the untouchables. We are the ones who are alone, separated from everybody, rejected. And this Jesus did that. Wow. He healed one of our own. So now, I want you to think where I'm coming from, okay? That's the whole purpose of this sermon. So you understand a little better what mercy is. We went looking for Jesus, but how can you look for him? We don't have an iPhone. There's no GPS. There's no great maps that are sent to you in the mail. We got nothing. We got word of mouth. So we're hoping to run into him somewhere along the line. He's got to be there somewhere. You know what the God of the universe did? He put himself on the same road going to the same city that we were around. And we finally saw him. It's way off in the back there. We saw him. Now what do? We can't go up to him. Just so you know what the rule was, for me to Don, that was too close in those days. I would be suspect and I would have to be killed. So I had to back up away from that. So now maybe from me to Pastor Valu, maybe that's enough, as long as I'm yelling out that I'm unclean and always going back. So how in the world are we supposed to get close to Jesus? Because you should see the crowds. They cover the countryside. What are we going to do? How are we going to get to him? We don't know. Then he comes, and we see him. So we banded together, and we said, Lord, have mercy on us. Another big word, mercy. Mercy is when something bad is happening and someone with authority and someone with power removes the consequences that you're going through. So you don't have to go through whatever it is that you should be going through. We had leprosy. That's disease. God didn't cause that. Everybody knows that God did not cause evil and sadness and sorrow in this world. That's the result of what the devil did when he undid all the wonderful goodness of God. That's the result of what Adam and Eve did when they listened to the devil. So here I am. I'm suffering the consequences. There is someone way over there who has the authority. I know who he is. He has the authority and the power to remove these consequences of living in a sinful world. So we ten begged him, have mercy on us. Then Jesus said these words. I want to make sure that I read them correctly because it's amazing. He said, go show yourselves to the priests. What would you do? Go show yourselves to the priests. Those are spectacular words, if they're true. If they're true, when Jesus says, go show yourselves, do you know what would happen? If I'm a leper, and during the normal course of events, I was healed normally, I was supposed to go, first of all, to the priests, and I would be examined from top to bottom, head to toe, making sure that there was not a spot of leprosy on my body. Then what would happen is the priest would make sure that everybody knew that I was cleansed, that I was healthy again, and then, and only then, I could go and give my wife a hug and feed my baby girls and go to work, have coffee with the guys. Only then, after I'm declared clean, could I go to work. I could walk by a crowd of people. They wouldn't be turning away from me. I could offer a little kid a high five, and he would give it to me without throwing up in my face. What a wonderful thing if it's true. So step back in time with me a little bit. I'm a leper. I'm covered from head to foot with this terrible thing called leprosy. In case you want to know, it's not a pretty thing. You started right away. You had to cover what you could to protect yourself from the air and stuff like that. And we all sat there, we were begging for mercy. What do you do? What do you do? What would you do? Our hands are still leprous. Nothing's changed. I'm still on the road. Nothing's changed. All I have is God's word. Go show yourselves to the priest. That's it. So I don't know what you would do, but this is what I did along with my nine others. We turned around to go to show ourselves to the priests. And then, without any earthquakes, with no angelic choirs going, no sparkles, no glitters, no trumpets, while we are on our way, we're cleansed. No more rot. No more pain. Got on my toes, got my fingers back, have my ears back, my nose. I'm looking around at my other nine friends, and the same thing is happening to them. So what would you do? Jesus said, go show yourselves to the priests. So I did. No, that's not what I did. What I did is I stopped in my tracks. I went back as fast as my legs could heal me, and I dropped to my knees, and I said, thank you, sir. Thank you so much. I love you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I couldn't care If you saw me on my knees, I couldn't care. You thought, well, that's not really nice. You're kind of old for that. I could care less. Because the God of the universe had seen to it that he was on my road. He listened to my request and he healed me. What an amazing God. I gotta say thank you to him. And while I am saying thank you to him, you know what it does? He goes and he says, we're not 10 cleansed. Where are the other 9? Is the only one left this one Samaritan to give glory to God? And then he gives me another gift. And this is the one most people miss. That's a come. I'm pretty sure Pastor Talberg asked me to come up and tell you that. Because he looked at me and he said, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. See what he did there? I'm a Samaritan leper. I was outcast from my country. I was outcast from all people. I was all alone. And Jesus said, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Jesus said, I was part of his family. He saw my heart, that I knew who he was. And I trusted his word. And I was blessed by him. And I couldn't say thank you enough. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So what would you do? Now's the time I want you to think about that question. Because God has shown mercy to you just like he's shown mercy to me. You know, you heard earlier from Isaiah, this is something else that Isaiah wrote about this Jesus person. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we thought he was stricken by God, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. I don't know if you all understand the joy of seeing yourself completely free of a disease like that. I don't know if you can understand the overwhelming joy that moved grown men to start dancing around like kids, hugging each other, dancing around. I don't know if you'll ever get that, but I want you to get this, that the Bible says that we were rotting in our sins, that there was no hope for us. Our disease was incurable. So God sent Jesus, and Jesus lived a perfect life. He died an innocent death for us. And as Scripture points out, he removed our sins from us. That's good news. Fellow lepers, you and I have that same problem. We have sin. Fellow lepers, guess what? We have been cleaned. Just a few minutes ago, you heard me declare to you God's own word. God, for Jesus' sake, has forgiven you all your sins. Nothing left. Spot free from top to bottom. Holy in God's eyes because of what Jesus did for you. What incredible thing. So what would you do right now in 2020? What would you do now that you're all cleaned up? Now that God says, you're coming home with me. Oh, I'm going to leave you on earth for just a little bit until I get everybody else I can get through you. And then you're coming home with me. It's guaranteed. What would you do? Would you go around using your mouth to curse people instead of praise God? Would you go around using your words to cut down others? Would you go around being mean to others? Not being patient with others? Would you go around being greedy, trying to get as much as you can, and forget about anybody else and their suffering? Is that what you would do? I don't think so. God, for Jesus' sake, says, be kind and compassionate. Be considerate of one another. Honor one another above yourselves. Use your mouth to praise and glorify the God who saved you. That's what you would do. Now, how is that going to play out in your life? I don't know. I'm a former leper. The key is I'm a former leper, and I let everybody know that. And I let everybody know who changed my life. It's not me. It was Jesus. Jesus who forgives you all of your sins. So in Jesus' name, live that kind of life that gives him glory. Don't curse and swear. Make sure you worship him. Make sure you honor those that he places in authority over you. Protect that wonderful gift that he gives called life. Protect that wonderful treasure that he calls marriage and his gift of sex to be used in marriage. Don't steal anybody's stuff. Don't steal anybody's time. Eighth commandment also says, treat other people's reputation as a gift from God and don't diss them. And the whole matter of things, be content because God, your Heavenly Father, knows exactly what you need. He has not forgotten and he will keep you as his own. And as a former leper, I'm telling you, God keeps his word. In his name, so let us live this week. Amen.